And we're back.
Welcome back to the Deus Vult podcast.
I actually beat you to the punch this time.
Yeah, well, you pressed the button. So, like, it's amazing that I get it in the first
line.
It's
remarkable. Honestly, it's remarkable that you understand when I've actually hit record.
Well, sometimes you're sneaky about it. I am sometimes. Father.
Did he say the word?
Stephen Felicia.
I am Father. Sorry.
Go ahead.
What's okay, good. Father Dan Cale.
Yeah. What's remarkable?
Lots of things. Well, I don't remember what it was that I was going to say.
Never mind. But it's just the common fare for the people of the Deus Vult podcast.
Well, actually, what I usually do when I'm being sneaky about it is I'll try to catch you doing something funny or goofy in the early part of the recording, just because I think people will enjoy it.
Yeah, like listening to 40K videos and stuff.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no.
Are you singing a shanty or something like that? A sea shanty?
What?
Yeah.
One day I'll have the button to press, except I won't know which button to press.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's a reason why I'm still on this side of the screen.
Thank you for bringing
your laptop.
It's
not necessarily because I want it. It's because you don't.
Oh. This was your idea. Remember that.
You agreed to it.
I did. I'm here, aren't I?
I'm here, aren't I? Season four, everybody. Welcome God bless you.
Wow. It's rather
still
incredible.
Still listening.
You have my sympathy.
Oh gosh!
My brother.
When is this one going to come out? This is one. I'm
no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thinking.
Do your calendar math.
This one actually comes out while we're on continuing ed days.
Oh, nice.
We've just begun. Yeah, we would have. It would have dropped, and we would be driving to the Potawatomi Inn.
Learn me something good.
Mm.
What do you set that up on, like a timer or something? Is it like
what
the villain from Speed? Like do you actually have to click a button?
Speed.
Anyway, it's all an elaborate trap.
Some dumb Jason Statham movie.
Yeah. I was watching a movie about a bus that had to maintain a certain speed.
Why is
and
it
if
always...
it lost its speed, it would explode. I think it was called The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down. From The Simpsons.
Like the wheels on the bus go round and round, rated R.
Anyway.
or isn't it was the other one where he couldn't get below a certain beats per minute?
Is that also
Jason Statham?
No. Speed is Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
that's
and,
right.
And Dennis Hopper, I think, is the villain, if you can believe it.
Okay.
And then – Yeah, no, he's never.
But I think it is Jason Statham.
What was it called? Like Surge or something like that, or
yeah,
something
like
one,
that. One like kind it's of one gritty word. One line name, one,
right,
one
where,
word name
where he has to keep his heart rate up or he'll die.
Yeah, because
right. He's been poisoned. Anyways, don't watch it. Highly profane movie. But
yeah, and so he. Yeah, I only saw the commercials for it. I'm like, that's an interesting concept.
I think I watched it a couple of times. I was a bad man. But anyways.
Jason Statham, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, that movie was called like Surge
Bolt
or something.
Bolt. Surge.
Yeah, it was.
Something, yeah.
Anyways.
Anyway. What were we talking about?
And we're back.
We're back. Yes.
Where were we? We're bad.
Having
at this.
High octane energy, something about that. Being
movies. We were talking about the movie Speed, and you wanted to know Keanu Reeves. Why did we get on that? The space bus that had to maintain a certain speed.
Is that why we were
I got us there from The Simpsons, but I can't go back beyond The Simpsons. Scene missing, man.
Doesn't matter. Welcome back.
We'll edit that out.
No, we won't.
It's really pathetic. I'm sorry, people.
Gosh.
But welcome to the 21st century where the internet destroys your memory.
Yep.
But
well, I mean, you're also catching it. This is what happens. Like
what?
We spend up a lot of energy. We're recording three episodes in a row on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, I'm enjoying myself.
And I'm having a great time. Although, but you walked in, you're like, I'm tired.
Well,
like,
I drank
so
a rock
star. Man.
You
drank a rock star. I drank
did.
The rest of
and
a
and we have been
star.
Talking, like, my brothers and sisters, you have missed, like, three other conversations that were not recorded. We
That's
were talking
true.
For, like, 2 hours outside of
hey,
recording.
You know what's crazy?
I'm not complaining.
No, neither am I. And actually, what the one thing that we sort of miss out on a lot of now is that, you know, you're at a parish an hour away from me,
yeah.
And that wasn't so bad earlier. We were actually able to see each other more often.
Oh,
we could
yeah.
record just an episode, a single episode.
Oh, now, yeah, as long as we were having weekly conversations.
Now we have to, like, fit a month worth of conversations into one meeting.
That's
and some of them
true.
Are recordable. By that, I mean to say that they're actually, like, worth recording for a show.
A lot of swearing going on.
Screaming profanities at each other.
You ever see the Spinal Tap documentary? Anyways.
No.
Turn
up to 11.
This amp goes up to 11. Why don't you just make 10 just a little bit louder? The stamp goes to 11.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways. But here we are. And life is really good right now, I think.
I think it's great.
Things are still good at your parish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Since we saw it last?
Since this afternoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't burn down as far as I'm aware.
Don't say that.
No, I'm kidding. Like, that's what people say is, how's the parish? I don't know. I haven't burned it down, and it hasn't burned me down.
Good. That's nice. I've never heard that before.
I don't know. Things are thriving.
Oh, okay. Yes, good.
Things are thriving. They're continuing. It's one of those things where, you know, there's lots of stuff that I want to see grow and continue to go the direction that the Lord wants it. And I hope I'm following His will and everything. But early on at the assignment, you know, I'm trying to get a lot of balls rolling. And if you've ever sort of – if you can imagine that kid's game where you try to keep a lot of things moving all at the same time.
Yeah, or juggling.
Right. It's kind of a juggling thing, mm-hmm. but you have to continue paying attention to different things at different moments. And if you don't, something will stop.
Right.
So like I'm trying to get a lot of things moving. I'm trying to get a lot of people involved, and it's a lot of moving pieces.
It's fun, isn't it?
And then just normal pastoral ministry on top of that.
You right? like being a pastor.
Oh, I do. It's fantastic.
You like it more than being a parochial vicar.
Way more. Mm. Way more.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
That's not a commentary on my assignments. Like,
No.
There were things that I absolutely loved about St. Charles.
I know.
I don't have a school anymore. So like I miss teaching my eighth graders, you know. Mm. Fridays with Father was one of the most life-giving things I did at St. Charles.
Who
for
teaches
sure.
your RCIA?
Actually my music director. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he's very capable. He's actually a university.
I'm sure.
He's a professor at the university.
Whoa.
So
you got a big RCIA
and a convert. Actually, the guy who teaches my Bible study, my catechism/Bible study, is a convert.
Nice.
And my RCIA director is a convert, which is actually really great and appropriate.
They're pretty hardcore, those converts.
Yeah. They're both really solid guys. Actually, one thing that I've noticed recently about St. Robert's is we have a lot of masculine involvement.
Nice.
Yeah. There's a lot of men who are serious about the faith and the parish and are not going to abandon it anytime soon. They Righteous. Are all about it. They're in there to win it. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Not every parish, God bless, can say that.
Yeah.
How big's your RCIA this year?
Actually, it keeps growing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so there's a number of things that are going on. It seems like everybody who's in RCIA this year is in a different situation. They're like people who'd like never got confirmed or
so
never
you got a lot of Catholics in RCIA.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right. I have a lot of Catholics in RCIA, and I have a lot of people who have been raised as a Catholic but never like got baptized. Mm. So you have like those weird things where they've been nominally or at least culturally Catholic their whole life, and now they're in their 20s
yeah.
and they need their sacraments.
Okay.
Some of this is because of immigration things, like they're Hispanics and things that didn't work out in the course of that time
that part of
their
life. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now they're catching up, which
Good,
is great.
Praise God.
But I also have people who are like full on Protestants who are coming into the church and they're like excited for it.
What's the number?
Oh man. I actually don't have a solid count right now.
Really?
I think it's probably and then again, people in different situations, but I probably have 8.
Okay, great. Number.
For my parish.
For a small parish. Small, in quotes.
And like today we added another one.
That's a win, man.
It's crazy.
Jeez.
Yeah.
The harvest is abundant.
Labor's a few.
I know, right?
Yeah. So I actually need to talk to my RCIA people and say, okay, who is everybody and what all do they need? Like, how do I? Well, because it's like I have 9 different situations.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Good grief. No,
it is not a tumor.
Yeah. Anyway, so like, I have like 9 different situations. It's not like I have 9 Protestants who want to become Catholic. It's I have 9 different situations that I have to make sure I take care of.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's fun, but it's also like, okay, I got to make sure I follow a bunch of different rules and not screw this up, you know, because I don't want to mess people's lives up.
Yeah,
so,
no, I'm a big fan of that myself.
Yeah.
I myself just realized I had 2 weddings to record. I took care of it. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
But I delegated because they knew pastor and they wanted to be married by people they knew. And fine, great. Praise God.
Yeah.
So, but I had to delegate. And after I had delegated, I looked at the packets just last week and like one marriage had been done a month ago. I was like, this needs to go in a book.
Yeah. It's funny how, you know, when you move
Donna,
to...
Donna, where do we keep the Sacramento records?
It's funny having to ask those kind of questions.
Right.
Like, I actually just recently filled out my first, dear listener, this is how things operate, my first baptismal certificate
nice.
For someone who's getting married somewhere else.
Nice.
Which I had never had the reason to do that at St. Charles. I don't know if I'm not allowed to do it at St. Charles. I
mean,
pastor,
there probably was no reason for it, to be honest.
Right. It was probably all set up and Father Tom just signed the stuff.
Right.
You know?
Easy.
But for me, like, I was sitting there going, oh, I have to do that. I have to go look in the sacramental record and write down the annotations.
Isn't
that
fun?
Do I have baptismal certificates that I can fill out? And I open up my left desk drawer. Oh, there they are. Cool.
It's like a cop looking for his gun in handcuffs.
How do I do this
job? Is there a firearm around here?
We're really inspiring great confidence, people of God, with this
episode. We've got to go arrest somebody.
Oh, crap, it's me.
Yeah.
I guess it's my turn. Well, we're going to keep the keys to the cells.
Oh, man. What's the the Andy Griffith show where there's a drunk guy who uses the cell.
Opie, I think, is
and
his
he can
name.
Like he can like let him in,
he
let
just,
himself
he
in and
walks
out.
In and he gets the keys and he opens the cell. He can reach it from there. He can just put his hand around and get the keys and let himself out in the morning.
It's kind of what it feels like sometimes. Welcome to the small country parish, you know.
Oh my god.
People just let themselves in and out.
Ugh.
Oh man. But it was great. It's like I just opened the drawer in a place where I thought they would be. They were there. I opened the book, found the information, wrote the information out in my best handwriting, and I handed it to the lady who came to Mass this weekend. I was
so
like,
German.
Perfect. That's exactly what I need.
Isn't that amazing? Like you feel like it's such a huge win. You're like, today I wrote the book.
I did a whole task,
right,
and I was done.
I put this paperwork in the filing cabinet myself.
Small victories, friends. Small victories.
Strut around your rectory.
Just sent a whole packet for a radical sanation to the vicar general.
Oh, look at
done.
Me. I'm a big boy. I wear a belt on my pants.
No more overalls.
No more overalls. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's fun being a pastor.
I love it. It's fantastic.
It's so, brother, I think I've probably said this on the show. It's so enjoyable watching you just like go from like 10 to 11 in your priesthood.
10 to 11.
This priesthood goes to 11.
Man, it is. I'll tell you what, it's a lot of on the job training. There was stuff we learned in seminary.
It was good.
It was good.
It was great.
And I probably assimilated at the time. But then you go through a whole period where it's like, okay, ordination. And then you go to a parish like St. Charles where a lot of this stuff is taken care of behind the scenes by other people.
Sure. And wonderful. Praise God.
And that's great. But then you sort of lose it for yourself. So you have to kind of like look back at your notes and relearn it and talk to people who know better. And it's great. It's great. And I think I'm assimilating it more readily now.
Like, do you think, and this is we're just talking out loud. How else do you talk? But the
I don't know. You tell me, Father.
I was just trying right now.
Yes. Like, dancing with myself.
But do you think, like, and again, just speculating wildly, and this is not advice for His Excellency, but like that we should send new priests to small parishes? So
actually, someone else had proposed that sort of an idea.
Yeah.
That like, what is it? Actually, that you take your more experienced priests and you send them to the parishes where they're the ones who are going to be running the entire show because they actually have all the practical knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually take a bunch of the young priests and you make them run a bigger parish in town because then they have more resources at their hands. They can learn these things more gradually. And it's not an entirely bad idea. Now, granted, one of the reasons why you don't do that is because a really highly experienced person at a parish that size will keep things running really well. Whereas if you put a bunch of babies in charge of a major corporation, it may not work. So I don't know. It's a funny idea, but not necessarily a bad one.
Anyway, it's just speculating wildly, and I don't have the responsibility. So
right. I mean,
it seems to be working out. I haven't burned my place down either. So
nor has it burned you down. Fire.
Right. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The cadets are delightful on top of it all.
Good.
Like, it's funny, like, looking at myself in a manner of speaking some days. But anyways.
Are there little Father Felicias?
You're phrasing, man. Come on.
You know what I mean. Mini-me's.
No, there are no other
You know what I mean. Spiritual children, Father. Spiritual yes, children.
I have many. I'm very blessed in that regard. Again, yeah. And, well, again, I'm developing them and developing them. I'm making friends with the cadets in a manner of speaking. Good. Put friends in quotes, but like,
I mean, you don't rank them, so.
Well, again, like they asked me about West Point and stuff, and some of them are interested in going, and then there's just other random stuff, and you know me, I was playing volleyball with the Catholic group on campus, and one of the kids' names is Emilio, and so like whenever the ball was coming,
Emilio,
that's what I kept doing. Emilio.
That's awesome.
Emilio.
Oh, man.
I don't know if he gets the reference. Probably not. And that might be for the best. But, like, I was having a great time. Again,
that's great. This kid's like, Father's weird, but I like him.
Well, they said, Father, you want to play? I said, yeah. And, you know, it's just like volleyball and, you know, actually a ton of rowing kids. Like, there are a bunch of kids who row, you know, like
they're all playing volleyball.
Well, it was the Catholic youth group. And so,
did it kind of feel like Top Gun?
No, not at all. not even close. It's a boarding school that's a high school.
Okay, fair enough.
It's, yeah. But again, like you play with, and it's just a delightful time. And you had Jimmy John's. Actually, the deacon had gone and gotten Jimmy John's.
Nice.
It was a good time. And so, like, no. Like, I am enjoying being a pastor too. Like, don't let me. I'm not asking because I'm.
You mean to say you didn't hear Danger Zone playing in the background?
No, I don't. What was that? I don't think I was even singing anything. What was I listening?
You weren't.
Not that time. Kickstart my heart. Oh my gosh. The student has become the teacher's assistant.
Oh man. Those who can't do, teach. Those who can't teach, teach Jim.
Just kidding.
Anyway.
Should we get to the topic?
Schneeblay. Yes, in this recording, we've had two different Jack Black movies referenced.
This is Mr. Schneeblay. Anyway.
Oh, actually, it's pronounced Schneeblay.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's rock. Let's rock tonight. Anyway, yeah, topic. Hit me.
Let me ask you a question.
Just one?
How often do you think about the Roman Empire?
You know, okay, so...
So what?
Father Stephen told me, dear listener, that we were going to address this thing that's been going on culturally in the West, I guess.
Yeah, no, it started in like Switzerland or Sweden. Is
oh,
where
really?
It started. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like that's where it started.
Well, give a description of the meme. Like, okay, the sort of underlying, what are the meta,
so how it
the
started
meta joke.
Was some lady, and I think it was Switzerland or Sweden or one of the countries that starts with S in Europe, asked her, like her father or her boyfriend or her husband, and I don't know if she has three of those, but
significant other.
So she asked somebody who was a man, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? And he said, like, all the time. And then he just like went up, and he's not a historian or anything like that. Yeah. And then she went through like her other significant male, you know, friends or whatever, family, and they all basically gave her kind of the same answer. And so that got out there onto the interwebs, and somebody put it on a Facebook – somebody relatively with a large following put it on his Facebook page. And so all the women are asking the men in their lives, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? And they are absolutely shocked and flabbergasted by the responses they are getting.
Because they're all along the same lines talking about like, you know, political and diplomatic cultural collapse. And,
well, all kinds
and
stuff.
And like the foundation of the church and sciences.
I return
and, like,
to it. How
know,
often,
infrastructure and everything.
How often do you think about the Roman Empire? Be honest with me.
Well, so here's the thing, right? I think maybe a little bit of a different character to my answer comes from the fact that I'm a Roman Catholic priest.
Right.
So like, you add that to the situation.
Like, I think about it every day.
I think about Rome all the time.
Yeah, I think about Rome all the time. Like, on top of it, I was a freaking soldier.
But if you take away sort of, like, the ecclesiastical dimension of the of the question, like, the fact that I am a Roman Catholic priest.
Sure. Okay, so, like hypothetically, just not in religious or historical terms. I don't know if you can do that, but go on.
Thinking about it as Dan Cale, right? Not Father Dan Cale.
Okay.
Sure, sort of as Father Donahue would say. We'll just bracket that for a moment.
Yeah.
Bracketing my priesthood and ecclesiastical life, I think I have sort of been inspired by the long-standing traditional things that come out of the Roman Empire as far as like anything cultural or architectural or or even infrastructural. You can start, and of course, living in the United States, you think about it from the perspective of our political systems. There's a part of our political system that comes out of the political processes that were established in the Roman Empire in the different generations of it. And of course, it changed over the course of its years.
Yeah.
But like we see some of those things reflected in our own governmental system and in most Western governmental systems that you can see. You could probably keep going down the list, right?
Right.
And there are things which were influenced by the Roman Empire that will last until the end of the world.
Sure. Duh. So how often do you think about it?
Every day.
Yeah. Even if you weren't a priest?
I would say, yeah. If not every day, then like every other day.
Right. Like, no, and like I would speculate, like take the priest out of it, if that was possible, but you can't. But anyways.
Right. Oh, and if you add the priest to it, holy crap. It gets way bigger.
I can't stop thinking about it. Yeah. Like, but I probably think about it biweekly.
Yeah.
I probably think about it twice a week at least if I wasn't a priest. Because again, just like the soldier side of the house and my fascination with politics and history.
Yeah.
Like it's just
especially a military history thing.
I mean, oh yeah.
There's all sorts of things you could talk about from that. Everything from Greece to Egypt to the Holy Land to it's Roman occupation of the Holy Land.
Right.
You talk about Roman. Especially like religious practices with the adoption of different gods and like the Greek gods, there's ones that get translated into Roman.
Oh, yeah. No, and, I thought I was fascinated when I was a kid about that.
And the huge historical characters.
Like Zeus and Jupiter. Yeah.
I mean, huge historical characters like Mark Antony and Julius Caesar and even Cleopatra's relation to that. And,
oh, sure. Or Nero or...
Right. Oh, Nero.
Or what was that one guy?
Decius, Diocletian, all the bad emperors. Hadrian, and I mean these huge names, right, of the history of the Roman Empire.
Octavius.
Augustine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Augustus.
Augustus Caesar. Like even if I was just stealing names for D&D, sometimes I'd go back to and I would borrow Roman-sounding names and I would imagine them very much. I had a character named Scadian Servitor. And mind you, there's some 40K in there. But at the same time.
I mean like Scipio Africanus.
What
a name, right?
God, what a boss. I never met him.
But he must have been cool.
He must have been amazing.
Yeah.
So part of the joy, I don't know if joy, like why this thing is catching on is because like the women are shocked at like how, like they had no idea that this man who was their father or they're married to or anything thought, this thought was even in there or happening so frequently.
Right.
And like, so like you
why
see
why is
there,
it such a masculine thing?
Well, see, like there's so much to the dynamic of it. Like, well, it's engineering. I think it's what men think about.
Yeah.
Like we think about structure and maintenance and law and order. And so part of this is like, and there's a lot here. Like, so like, it's not just about me and you talking about the Roman Empire this episode. Like I want to talk about why this is interesting. And it's interesting because it involves men and women.
Yeah.
Like that's why this is spreading so much.
Right.
This
is a question of masculinity and femininity.
It really is. It's a two-sided thing. It's not just like, well, let's study masculinity. It's part of it is women watch these TikTok videos. And again, like don't go on TikTok. It's awful. It's a Chinese plot. And Father Stephen is giving you his honest opinion on that.
They're stealing your brain cells.
Honestly, yeah. Like they're weakening us to the point where it's easier to take us over. But the
Remember societal collapse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing. Go read something about Rome.
It's happened before.
Yes. Just study the Roman Empire. But the idea is, and again, like this is the meta, is like, no, the women are shocked. They laugh in these videos. They freak out in these videos.
Yeah.
They can't process it. They can't make sense of it. They laugh. And so some of them seem honestly scared.
Right.
And like how could my significant other or my – how could they actually be thinking this?
Yeah.
And I was completely oblivious to it. And like – so that's like part of the charm of these short videos. And also like the side of it is too like watching these men like look at these girls and be like, how are you not thinking about the Roman Empire?
Like they're sitting there going, why are you laughing?
Right.
I don't understand, like, why you're having such a weird time.
Exactly. One of the videos I watched was she asked him, like, you really think about this once a week?
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah. He's like, how can you, like, the line was, how can you not?
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
And like to some extent, like, yeah.
So what's the analysis of this then?
Well, I don't know. Like, one is, so let me really jump the shark here, man.
Jump
like,
the shark.
I don't know if I'm using that phrase
jump
correctly.
It, man. Just
but
jump
here
the
we
shark.
Go, man. Like, I'm going to go steal, one more level
steal
up.
Steal its wallet in a dark alley.
Or one level further down. Oh, that reminds me of the Camino. We walked down all these murder alleys. It was funny as all get out. But the...
go ahead.
But like really what's going on is like how alienated men and women have become in our society. Like,
yeah.
Like we so truly don't appreciate each other that it's shocking to us that we don't think alike anymore. And yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that like an interesting comment? Like, I mean, on the one hand, it's like, you know, you ask a random question.
I mean, it might be a little bit overstated, but generally speaking, I understand what you're trying to get at. That I mean, there's the continual joke trope that, you know, men don't understand women and yeah. likewise, women don't understand men.
And vice versa.
Yeah. And it's perpetuated in all sorts of comedy and all that kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, the comedy is only making fun of a reality in the world. So, or it's drawing some light from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth, but
and there's another side of me. Like, go you if you want to explore that, go ahead, man.
Yeah,
I wait with bated breath.
No, I think I'm ready for
okay. Here's the next thing.
Yeah,
like, and again, like I hesitate to say this begs the question. Like, should women be thinking more about the Roman Empire? Like, because
well,
one
so
of them
is it something for men to think about as opposed to women?
Well, I mean, like, so, like, but what are they thinking about? Like, one of the women said, because,
or rather, I will say this because this is something that's a part of a conversation that came up with a dear friend of mine who is a woman,
okay.
who herself is very interested in politics,
sure.
and society and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. She has a little bit more of, you know, what might be considered a masculine mindset on the thing. And
okay,
she
fine.
I asked her, how often do you think of the Roman Empire? And she's like, yeah, I think about it all the time too.
And see,
so but it definitely has more of a preponderance among men, but it's not exclusive. It's kind of one of those things with Dr. Jordan Peterson where there are things that are considered more masculine and feminine,
mm-hmm.
but it's not necessarily an evil or strange for women to engage in some of these things and men to engage in some of these things within reason, right?
And yet like the trope implies like
yeah.
that these women, God bless them, never think about the Roman Empire.
Right.
Or like
most women never do.
And
yeah.
that's such a strange thing to say. Again, like one of yeah. the women's – because the husband asked and said like, what do you think about? And she said, well, I replay – she says, I have conversations and then I replay the conversations in my head over and over and over again. And mind you, maybe this isn't like the greatest example of feminine genius. But like at the same time, you're like, huh. And again, like I'm not accusing anybody or anything like that or saying, you know, well, obviously this – let's get the patriarchy out and roaring to suppress everything. But like – but does that imply that we've – in a certain sense, in a world where we've claimed to have like freed and empowered women, have we actually completely successfully infantilized them? Am I using that right? Tattooist? infantilized.
Yeah, infantilized like, is the real
yeah,
word.
Yeah, yeah, that's the word.
So making them into someone that's completely dependent? Is that what you're saying?
Like the more you know, like the more you can do.
Sorry, wait a minute. Draw that out a little bit.
The more you know, the more you can will. And so that's the whole argument
sure.
for like quote unquote empowering women is like higher education. And mind you, the colleges are shutting down or not shutting down. Well, actually they will, but that's another problem. But what I meant was like they're becoming like 57-60% women and only like whatever 40% men. And
as far as attendance
goes,
professors.
No, that's just the ratio breakdown of boys to girls in modern campuses.
Oh, okay.
And so like hypothetically, you're producing a lot of highly educated women. And maybe, again, it's like a question of sampling. Like the women who are hanging out on TikTok or on social media aren't – but I bet you they did go to college. And I
wonder if you were to – see, one of the things that has happened though too
– go ahead.
I don't want to say anything that sounds I don't want to put anybody off. But something that has happened is there have been a lot more majors – associated with like universities that may be more attractive to a feminine
mindset
that are in themselves pretty useless.
Okay.
As far as like
misogynistic was the word you were looking for.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to be that, but mm-hmm. but what like these things which are more attractive to women but are generally kind of useless for finding a job or even being involved in what universities are really for, the arts, mm-hmm. the classical liberal arts, right, which are good to study in themselves just because of their association with goodness,
in
right,
and themselves.
Truth, right? Like if you were to remove a bunch of those sort of majors that were not as useful.
Fine.
I wonder if the demographic of men to women would shift.
Hmm.
That there'd be more men involved.
Well, I think, and this is the scary thing.
And I don't know about that. That's just a speculation.
I think it's just collapsing overall.
Really?
Like, well, again, like I don't know how many women engineers you find, so to speak. But like, and that's an interesting question, isn't it?
More than when my dad was in school.
Fair enough.
I mean, like when I was in engineering school, there was a pretty fair number of women who were in my classes.
Mm-hmm.
But when my dad was in school, it was like predominantly men, like sure. so much more, right? You, mm-hmm. you didn't have very many girls who were in engineering school.
Right.
And that was probably true across the STEM
right,
majors.
Right, right, correct. The other interesting thing here too is like, again, like talking about college collapse, just in brief, like part of the problem is there aren't enough kids anymore because we don't reproduce like we should.
Right.
And so we have a glut of colleges and not enough young people to go around for them. So there's just going to be a collapse of them. They're going to start closing here in 2 years.
Yeah.
Which they were actually anticipating over at Mount St. Mary's. But that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah.
So again, if they're going to survive, again, at least they were looking out. I know when we were there, the board was definitely talking about finding a way to be more attractive to young people because they knew that the shortage was coming 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And now we're like 2 years out from their projection.
Attendance is down at the university near me too.
Yeah. But the other side is this. Like, not only that, not only do you not have enough bodies to go around for these colleges, but the women might be there to find people to marry. And again, I'm not trying to be insulting or anything like that, but a lot of college – but do you know what women do is they marry in within their social standing. And so like normally a college-educated woman wants to marry a college-educated man, whereas for a college-educated man, it's not a big deal if he marries a girl who doesn't have a college education. I mean, again, like it's not like a judgment call or anything. It's just the way it is.
Right.
But normally a college-educated woman wants to marry a college-educated man. Fine. But if they're in college and they're of marriageable age or you know, courtship age, like right. if they don't have any men to go around, I'll stop going to college kind of thing.
Right.
And like that's an interesting – again, and you can argue about the worldview and things like that and whether or not that will actually pan out. But one of the arguments is because there are so many women now in these colleges and there's not enough men to quote unquote go around, like they're going to start opting out too. And so like that will only further speed up the collapse of colleges. Anyways,
interesting theory.
We're kind of losing the lure. But the
but it does have to do with for one thing, the difference between men and women and how they operate and think.
Yeah.
Right. So it does have to do with that aspect of the original meme question, you know, how often does one think about the Roman Empire? Because it's not really about the Roman Empire. It's about – the reason it's the Roman Empire is because that particular civilization and all the generations involved with it covered so many different topics that have to do with the Western world, how we know it today.
Yeah.
I mean everything from the sciences to infrastructure to, you know, architecture to politics to – I mean everything.
Right.
Like it has so much to offer as far as historical content for study. So it sort of makes you wonder, why isn't it that women are thinking on these things?
Or
do they think on it in a different way?
I don't think so. Like again, like they seem – so again, the videos seem utterly shocked.
Yeah.
Like that's part of the draw is you like the shock value of like watching – again, like it's like a comedy routine. You know, one guy is acting crazy and the other person sees it. The straight man sees it and is like, what?
Yeah.
And so the woman here in this video is kind of the straight man in the – she's like absolutely shocked and that's part of the humor.
Okay.
And people watch
that. But I mean I wonder if there's any sort of a strain out there at all where people are putting the question back on them and saying like, okay, but seriously, getting away from the meme of this for a minute.
Right.
Because sometimes the meme can take on a life of its own.
Oh, no.
Do you ever think about this?
Well, see, here's the thing, is to return to it, like,
you know, people, man asking a woman that question.
Right, right. People who put videos on TikTok, and again, I'm not per se judging because I know plenty of good people who put videos on TikTok. Father Jose does. But that being said, like, the, and it's for evangelization. Like,
God bless him.
God bless him.
That's great.
If it helps, it helps. Praise God. But the, and I know other people who do good work too. You know, shout out to John Donahue, a good friend of mine. But the, but like, like, if I talk to my circle of friends who are women, I bet you I will get an answer roughly equivalent to mine. And why is that? Well, because they might have gotten that degree, which is more in line with like the arts rather than something like that. Or they're practicing Roman Catholics. And sure. And so, of course, they're thinking about it much more frequently. And again, this isn't like a judgment call, but like a person who's getting hits on YouTube or TikTok isn't per se interested in these deeper topics. I wonder if they're practicing Roman Catholics kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
or even sort of along the same line of thinking as someone like a classicist, someone who has studied the classical world and
exactly.
and the things associated with it, everything that would draw out from that historically, even to our own day.
Right. Which brings me back sort of to the infantilization of women. But at the same time, like – and again, and this isn't – I can talk badly about men too and their education. I am one. But yeah. And I didn't pay attention all the time in class. Many people have noticed. But the – but the but
including
like,
your professors at the time.
Well, anyways. Yes. We don't have to talk about that. The but like – again, like it's not like, well, he must be smarter because he's a man and he thinks about the Roman Empire. But like here's the guy. Like again, one of the guys is clearly – and again, I mean no insult by the term. I rather appreciate it. But like a grease monkey. He works on cars. He's a gearhead.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I think about the Roman Empire all the time. And like the vibe he's not throwing off is practicing Roman Catholic.
No.
But there is something there of like the how men and women think differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then that returns me to my initial point, or one of my initial points, a lot of points here. Like, does he, like, have we become so alien from each other as men and women that it off-puts you or that it actually does shock you? And you're right. Like, maybe some of this is just the effect of I'm supposed to act shocked and laughed right now, or I'm supposed to freak out because that's what you do in these videos. But –
yeah.
But initially, there was some response that was like that.
Sure.
And that's why they keep asking the question.
Well, maybe then one of my follow-up questions to this would be, what would be the thing that a man making some sort of a short video
would be surprised by that a woman says?
That a woman would think about all the time.
And if you want me to pardon the joke, please, but I don't know, everything apparently. but like, why are you thinking about that? You know, like
the, yeah, that's right.
You know, or again, the stereotype is, I have no idea what she's thinking.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Well,
and I don't even struggle to.
The other thing that they're astonished by, this is one of the differences between the way that men and women think, at least I think, from perceiving how the culture operates with this. But
two celibate priests speculate about how women think.
This is going to be.
They were going to be in so
much
trouble.
What could possibly go wrong? Yeah.
Well, there's a whole movie.
But,
Mel Gibson had a movie called What Women Want, which was like he was the man who could read women's minds.
Okay.
And so like that gave him an edge. But go on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So. But one of the things that I've noticed from what the culture is giving me is another question, apart from Roman Empire, is they'll look over at their husband and ask, what are you thinking about? And he'll say, nothing. And he literally means he's an open book. Like he is not thinking about anything particularly. You know, he's just relaxed. You know, when he's relaxed, he really isn't giving his thought to anything in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you have to be thinking about something.
Right.
And
it's like, no, not really.
No, I'm really not. You know? And they're shocked by it. They think that they must be hiding something from me.
Right.
And he's just like, no, I'm just relaxed.
There's that great meme of the couple in bed and the husband's turned away looking at the wall and she's looking at him sideways and she says, I bet he's thinking about other women. And his thought process is, how did they get the lightsaber of Luke Skywalker after Darth Vader cut his hand off?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Oh, man.
But no, there is something to
that. Yeah, go ahead. That kind of reminds me of that State Farm commercial.
Which one?
He gets on the middle talking of the night. On the phone. He's talking on the phone in the middle of the night to the State Farm agent, mm-hmm. and she comes down, and she just immediately assumes he's talking to some other...
Yeah, what is Dave from State Farm?
She sounds hideous. Yeah. Well, she's a man, so... Yeah.
What are you wearing? What's Dave wearing?
Slacks, red khakis. Sweater.
Yeah. But it's this weird... No, but why are these things fun? And like you said, it plays back to the stereotypical trope of men don't know what women are thinking, and apparently women don't know what men are thinking either, and that's part of the joke.
Right.
And which is, again, like funnier because like the women are more surprised by the fact that they don't think like us. And again, like I keep coming back to this. Is this actually like a broken part of our culture where like – Chesterton said – he had that great line – where he was picking on feminism as it showed up.
Oh.
And he said
good.
And he said, you know, we've always told women that they were outside our sphere and the way the men were thinking was superior. He said, never once did we think they would believe us.
Oh my gosh.
We said, you know, we had a, you know, a bunch of women said, you know, we will no longer, you know, take orders from you. And they all marched off and became stenographers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But like,
they really showed us.
You know. I mean, is there, well, again, like, I don't know. Like, was there a time when like, it, feminine genius, again, like anything, I suspect, has to be more informed by grace. It builds on nature.
Well, that's what John Paul would say.
But, well, I would agree with him. But like, every Thomas Aquinas may make the argument too. Everything grace builds on all nature, but like the feminine genius, for instance, like was there a time when it was more common and more prevalent when the women more intuitively understood the men's way of thinking? And like again, like part of it is that I hesitate to say I'm terrified. I'm not, but like, wouldn't they just presume I was thinking about the Roman Empire at some point? Like even if they were,
or you know, thinking. Proverbially along the lines
right,
of
right.
Like
I gotcha.
Like this is the sort of thing that would fill up my thoughts from time to time.
Right.
Yeah.
Should the woman be so shocked that I'm wondering how they got Luke Skywalker's lightsaber back?
You're thinking through things logically. That you have a desire to pull together different cultural tropes and make sense of them in this sort of logical, linear sort of way.
Exactly. Right? And like
was there a time when women would have been like, yeah, that's just
how men – of course he's thinking about that.
How men generally
There's no meme here in a manner of speaking. Right. Like because there is no shock value because of course he's thinking in quotes.
Yeah, 60, 70 years ago would this have been like, why is that funny? You know,
right.
To women. You know?
Right, exactly right. Yeah. And like that – thank you. It took us that long to get to what I was trying to say. But like, you know, 50 – again, and I'm not – Was there a simpler time, in a manner of speaking, when women have been like, why is this funny? And instead, like, it's, I got to record this. And again, like you said, the meme can take on a life of its own, but at the same time.
Well, okay. So one of the things that keeps coming to mind, and I've just recently done a talk on it again, in a few episodes back, I think sometime towards the end of season 3.
Yeah, what?
We did that episode on John Grabowski's book, Unraveling Gender.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the things he talks about, because, you know, it's of course, this is not a topic on – this episode is not on the transgender issue.
Right.
It's on the differences between men and women.
Purely
and
tangential,
But something in his book is, I think, telling, and there's something that I keep returning to as far as a historical trope is concerned, like the Industrial Revolution. So you have the three revolutions that he refers to all contribute to the breaking down of the family, which is why you have issues of seeing children as economic burdens and you see falling apart of the family and
that up. I remember.
Right. Okay. So one of the things that happens as a result of the Industrial Revolution, even if it might have brought around a greater degree of products for more people and therefore the poorer persons could have more access to more goods – it also caused a greater degree of separation of families because the agrarian society was more likely to have families working together on the family farm and thus more in tune with each other. And so you had a more strongly put together family unit.
Yeah.
But then the Industrial Revolution takes the father out of the home and it often took the mother and the children.
You actually said it right. Killed the children.
Yeah, yeah.
Those machines were pretty terrible.
Well, I mean, it's still dangerous today, right?
Yeah.
So like the family disintegrated.
Yeah.
And the money still wasn't good enough, probably.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you know, you had the situation at home where the farm was run by the family. And so to make more workers for the family, you had more kids.
Right.
And you had to be in tune because otherwise the things wouldn't work well together. And this is all speaking generally. Of course, hardships happen. But like, but then if you take it and you separate it all out, then the children at home become an economic burden because you have to feed them. One more mouth to feed. How many times have you heard that phrase, right? Mm. So the devolution of the family, I think, comes into play here. And if you have something that inserts itself into Western society a couple hundred years ago –
yeah.
maybe 150, 100.
1790s really is about the time it kicks off in Britain.
Okay, so we can probably fairly say 200 years, mm-hmm. just for sake of easement.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of ramifications does that have 200 years later? Well, at that point, all of a sudden, men and women weren't working together side by side in the home. They weren't working together side by side in their family situation, on their family farm, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We've moved away from the agrarian society. And it's not only about that, but it certainly isn't without reference to that problem.
Right.
I think there's more things. It's not a unilateral. Proximity.
Well, even think about like how these videos are made. Like they put a screen between each other when they're talking, like so that she can tape and videotape the man's response. And like that's like there's already something like separating you and dividing you from your dear one, from this man who, again, like the shock is like I live with this person or this person raised me kind of thing. And I had no idea what was going through their skull. And by the way, like even now I've got a piece of plastic and glass between me and them, and they're more of an object of entertainment for me to record right now.
Right.
Like there's a certain level of disrespect even in these videos now that I'm talking out loud.
Uh-huh.
Like let me pose a question and tape my beloved for the sake of entertainment and upping my view count.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it sort of also takes on – there's a little bit – and this is – you know, maybe this is reading too much into it.
We're just talking.
But it takes into account the little bit of a trope that has taken off in a lot of marketing that, you know, the woman in the house is the one who really has the control and she's the one who's really well organized and the man is just a bumbling buffoon.
Oh, sure.
You know?
The Simpsons.
Ha ha. The dad – the Simpsons. The Simpsons trope.
The Simpsons effect.
But you see that take place in a lot of like – commercials for household products
sure.
where, you know, oh, the husband like bobbles the soup and it spills all over the place. Oh, well, the woman's got Bounty, you know, mm-hmm. and she will, you know, like, and she's the one who's organized and good at this. Like, okay. Of course, you know, I appreciate a woman who's able to take care of her home and that's good. And that's beautiful. But
that's
like,
by the way, hypothetically, me in a marriage.
Yeah. But like, you know, at the expense of the man
yes.
who's the bumbling idiot.
Yes,
you
know, I know.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's not really real,
no,
is it?
I hope not.
So, but you're sort of putting together there a line of thinking where the bumbling idiot man has somehow been, you know, given over to thinking about the Roman Empire. Why is he doing that? You know?
Sort of there's like a way of like running down like, it's actually kind of important that I think about the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Like the argument is sort of like that's dead and gone. So why even waste any time considering it when we could be thinking about I don't know what they would hope I was thinking about.
Yeah.
But the and like so yeah like there is almost like a and again mind you there's some parts to denigrate about the Roman Empire. For instance, I don't know, slavery. But the denigration of it in all its possible positivity kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, like yeah. It's a very fascinating, I hesitate to say it's deep thought, but here we are struggling with it. Like it's somewhat fascinating,
yeah.
This quote unquote phenomena. It's not crazy off the wall, but yeah.
Hmm.
But again, I return to it. Like I would suspect that the quote unquote women in my circles like would answer, if not necessarily every day, but yeah, probably like weekly to bi-weekly, they think about the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to ask my mother, but I'd really be curious what Joan Felicia says.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she would have a more
Actually, she probably thinks about it a significant amount.
Yeah, I'm sure she has a more reasoned answer for it too. Mm-hmm. But that's that is interesting that there are certain maybe certain categories of women.
Okay, let's
go
with that.
Can we say that?
Why not?
Who,
it's the internet. You can say anything you want.
Well, who have more of a preponderance to think along these same lines? And I wonder then, you know, what is it that is the underlying factor that draws maybe more men, perhaps, given the trope of this meme,
yeah,
and some women to think more deeply about this problem,
mm-hmm.
or more deeply about this.
This
cultural subject, right, yeah, right.
And again, like I.
Anyway, I think we've kind of rehashed the issue a couple times, and right. we've kind of approached it from different angles. But you know, we're reaching about 50 minutes.
Okay, no, that's.
But I just wondered if we can kind of pull out any conclusions out of this because we've considered a lot of things.
Sure.
But
I mean, the saints thought about the Roman Empire every day because they lived in it.
Well, and sure.
The like,
especially the early ones.
That's something to say, and. And like, how did women saints think about the Roman Empire as opposed to the men saints?
Right.
The men saints.
I bet. Well, I mean, that's how you say that.
Okay. The saints who were men.
I mean, I bet Joan of Arc. I mean,
thought about the Roman Empire.
I'll bet she did a lot
all the time.
I bet she did a lot,
and probably even before she even picked up her sword, like the, right. and, it's just one of those like. So if you're going to think about the Roman Empire, my brothers and sisters, you better think about it as a saint would. I think I can land on that.
That's interesting.
At least solidly enough. And mind you, like they lived in it and they lived around it and they lived in its after effects. And by God, you have to as well. And you might say, well, I also live in the after effects of communism. Like how often do you think about the Soviet Union? Might be an interesting question.
Oh, that's an interesting follow-up. I wonder if that'll become a meme in itself.
Well, maybe from the Day as Well podcast. But like, but no, like how often do you think about the Soviet Union? And that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Like let's change the – there's an organized structure and stuff like that. And is it constantly on the masculine brain and the women never think about it?
I wonder if – you could probably about do the same thing with World War II in a general sense.
Interesting.
How often do you think about World War II?
Daily.
Right. Right. I wonder – oh, there's an interesting – that's an interesting trend. I wonder if you were able to start – if you make a new TikTok thing go viral, right, mm-hmm. that was like a series of questions. Okay, okay. Roman Empire. Okay, World War II. Okay, Soviet Union. And then you see where it falls off. How often do you think about the Ming Dynasty?
Not as much.
Yeah.
Like
and me probably just about never.
Fair enough. Again, yeah. like it's very rare for me to think about the Ming Dynasty.
I'm ashamed to admit.
Okay, Mr. Sun Tzu over there, you know. The Art of War. I have no idea if that's Ming Dynasty or not.
No, I don't think it is, but like the but no, the point is.
I mean, how often do you think of the Incan Empire? You know, the Mayans or the Aztecs.
I think about the Incans more than I think about Ming.
Okay.
But neither here nor there, I suppose. But you make an excellent point. Like it's not right. It's not frequently at all.
Right. So I wonder how much of it has to do with our own cultural situation, and how much of it has to do with the way men and women think.
Well, I bet you there's a good, but like
there's
I wonder,
a mix of these things.
Like again, like. What if you asked the people in China kind of thing? Like,
yeah.
And mind you, like, I bet you a lot of the men don't think about the Ming Dynasty in China.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting conundrum too.
Right.
But I wonder how much the Chinese men think about the Roman Empire. Like, now that's an interesting question.
That would be interesting.
And.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. I know that there's a difference here, and there's only one data point for this, which maybe makes it only anecdotal.
What?
But I was talking with my friend, Father Jonathan Akbedo, and maybe remember.
Yeah, from an earlier episode that we talked about today.
Yeah. Yes. Well, anyway, so Father Jonathan is a Nigerian, but he's a priest, obviously, but he was also a military chaplain for the Nigerian army.
Wow.
And so I thought, oh, military history. And we got into a conversation when I was at St. Jude's living with him, saying, we were talking about trench warfare in World War I.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like I was from outer space. He had no idea what trench warfare was.
Oh.
Or he seemed not to know what it was.
Right.
So I would have thought that someone who
was in the military, in a military.
In a military and relatively close to Europe. I mean,
right. And he's reasonably cultured too.
Right, exactly. That he would have had a sense about one of the biggest conflicts in Western history.
Sure.
But he he seems not to have very much practical knowledge about it. Now, I don't have a whole lot of practical knowledge of World War I,
sure,
but I knew what trench warfare was, mm-hmm, you know, which is like a pretty key issue, a pretty key part of World War I and how the battles were fought.
Mm-hmm.
So like it definitely comes into play about your own cultural situation. But it is interesting to me that I think maybe it's because some of the melting pot of American culture that we draw from so much stuff that happened in the West. Like we are definitely a European-based nation in so many ways.
Well, isn't the world a European-based planet at this point, in a manner of speaking? I know.
Maybe somewhat, but I think we
Communism is not native to China. Like that's a Western idea. I'm not a good one either. Okay. But like that's impacting the most populous country on the planet.
But I think maybe it's one of those things where as far as things which infiltrated culturally into China,
mm-hmm,
I wonder if they're sort of recipients of a late version of Western society to the point where they might get communism, but they might not have the background history of everything that Rome went through.
See, and mind you, communists are really good about deleting history too.
Yeah, sure.
But at the same time, if you're looking at the overall product, like you can't not – like it's a weird thing to say, but the fact that Rome exists has impacted the creation of communism. Like because that's because communism is a response to the Industrial Revolution, and the Industrial Revolution comes about in Western civilization,
okay,
and that is all dependent upon like the increase of commerce after the collapse of the empire and from the feudal state. Like,
oh wow,
exactly. Like in fact, Marx would make the whole point that the whole like what a dialectic of history is angled out of a response to Rome, and so like there is. Like this is a Western world at this point. And mind you, like a post-Western world, people will sometimes say, because again, yeah, we're talking about like cultural collapse and things like that. But
right.
But this is a Western planet at this point.
Interesting.
And and like what we do with that. Again,
because what's the lingua franca, which is sort of a funny thing to say.
English.
Yeah. And that's definitely Western.
Oh yeah. Or consider like I make the argument all the time that like science, as we understand it, you know, the hypothesis system, the scientific method, is an outgrowth of Christianity,
right,
and the
furthered by Enlightenment thought, which is also Western,
exactly, which is also again Christianity. See, it produces it. And produces in quotes. It wasn't like it was the main goal or anything. It's a byproduct of what Christianity provides.
Because what did Christianity do? I mean, it was a source of stability in the course of the fall of the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. So especially thinking along the lines of like Benedict option stuff, where the monasteries became the center of society.
Sure.
And you know who's the head of who's the father of genetics is Gregor Mendel. Yeah. A monk, you know, and you could go down the list of all these different Catholic scientists.
But again, the faith, like. I don't know.
Well, it's because of the study of the liberal arts. Like mm-hmm. The classical liberal arts included things like mathematics and logic. And so like that would be the natural growth out of these things. And where do the liberal arts come from? Us.
Mm-hmm.
In the end.
But like truth is so like paramount to these concepts and stuff. We're again, like are we looking at a response to a dearth of truth in our world, and again, there's a lot to look at, man. We could almost have a second episode on this question,
a dearth of truth. But like, I guess part of what might be a question that would come up that again, it sounds misogynistic. I hate to land there, but like, are maybe generally speaking, among women, are they more prone to falling to what the culture gives them, what modern culture gives them, rather than considering our historical roots, and therefore, like they don't pay attention as much to all of the things of like cultural collapse and the way that society is formed. That is really what men are thinking about when they think about the Roman Empire.
Well, again, so we sort of get back into the mutual support of men and women, the complementarity aspect. Like, to be fair, I don't have culture without women. I might have
sure.
I might have roads and commerce, but I don't have a family and a hearth.
Okay, sure. And, I guess I should make the Adam and Eve argument here that, you know, Eve wasn't simply the one who did it on her own. Adam was standing there letting her fall.
Exactly. And hence why we call it the sin of Adam, really, and not sin of Eve.
Right.
But like he was supposed to protect that which was most precious to him.
Right.
And
like women should be allowed to be innocent of these things because their men are.
Well, that's the Chestertonian quote I just gave you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like they're not supposed to be like naive and unaware of this.
Right. It's not naivete. It's a matter of keeping pure and good what is the crown of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking along more of those lines.
What was it Sheen said? He said
– and not because women are damsels in distress. That's not the point. Like mm-hmm. it's because you are so good, you know.
Well, again, like Sheen makes the point that the level of honor and respect in your society is maintained by the level of respect and honor that the women want to maintain. And at least it's true in Western civilization. But the I would actually agree with the Venerable Sheen. But the
this is why immodesty is a root of so much of the other sexual sin of our age.
Oh yeah, yeah. And again like and it's mutually, you know, as the woman falls, the man just immediately falls, and then the woman will continue to collapse unless something buttresses her. And so like what are we looking at here? Like there's a complementarity to it.
I was just thinking that word too.
It's what do we, how do we mutually support each other? Like at the end of the day, like the beauty of the culture of Rome must come from the women, in a manner of speaking. Like men raised by men aren't children, they're monsters. And I'm paraphrasing Chesterton there.
Okay.
And like terrible is the creature born of purely man, and like it's when the women hold those high standards that then you have the art, then you have the statuary, then you have the kind of joy,
right?
The excitement almost,
right?
A reason to build a bridge, kind of thing.
And the reason why women are so often the subjects of certain arts, like it's noticeable that that's even played out that way too.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the most beautiful art is done, like women become the subject of the arts.
Oh yeah, well again, but don't you build the bridge because you have your wife, and because like you want to get home to her, and because you want to provide something for her? Isn't I mean in the most altruistic sense perhaps, but it's something like that, right?
Yeah,
and the And doesn't she motivate you kind of to the muse aspect, I suppose, but doesn't she motivate you to sort of do that?
Right.
Like, doesn't she fascinate you?
There's a reason why the muses are personified as women.
Yeah, the feminine. There's this, and also in Jordan Peterson, like women are chaos. Like there's something absolutely fascinating about it. Whereas like men are more stalwart and steadfast. Like the amount of change he does is I hesitate to say glacial, but is somewhat slower than the woman. Hmm. And so the women, it's like watching fire, you know, like it's always doing something different.
Right.
And like that's not nothing.
Right.
And the
it's enamoring.
It is.
Yeah.
And so like again, should women, in a manner of speaking, be enamored by the man? And I suppose yes and no. I mean, there is like the difference in the complementary aspect. But at the end of the day, I think women generally prefer to have more conversations with women than with men. Because what are you thinking about?
Oh, nothing. Yes.
So anyways, like it's a maybe men and women should hang out more often. How's that for advice?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that the phone has separated us more than it's brought us together.
Well, yeah, that's the alone together issue. Mm-hmm. That's a common point of commentary for those who are watching, you know.
So, anyways, food for thought. Anyways, just two guys talking who happen to be priests.
I mean, this might be one of those things where we would be interested to see what other commentary is out there. And of course, we're just spitballing. So, sorry if we stepped on anybody's toes.
Well, yeah, no, just two guys talking in a moving car. Anyways.
A stationary moving car. Anyway.
This has been the Dave's Vault Podcast.
I think. Yeah, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and email us at DavesVaultPodcast@gmail.com.
We're not on TikTok.
We're thanks be to God, we're not on TikTok. We never will be. Unless the Chinese make us.
Next week, there's 10 TikTok videos.
No, that's not going to happen. The other thing was come on pilgrimage with us.
Oh, yeah.
I'll leave a link in the description.
We're going to go look at the old Roman Empire.
I mean, that's actually true. If we have the chance to go, and if you'll see any Roman and any ancient Roman structures, they've been assimilated into church buildings a lot. But
that's pretty cool.
You will see Roman columns. Come think about the Roman Empire with us. Oh, good grief. 11 days in May of next year. Please come. That'd be great. So you'll see the link. Register there. You can register without a passport. That's an important thing to say. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't have a passport before
you'll need
we leave.
One.
You'll need one when we leave, but you can register even if you don't have yours yet. So that's an important thing to say. Okay. Anything else?
No, I had fun.
Okay. Yeah. Great. God bless you, as always.
Deus Vult.